from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. How are we doing on a Tuesday? I think as a Packers fan, you're jacked up, excited, lived on social media probably this afternoon, watching all the tweets and coverage of OTAs as the Packers are in the thick of it at OTAs. Now, I believe they have off tomorrow and then back at it again on Thursday. Joining us from Packers OTAs, he is Paul Breitel, columnist for Packers Wire, part of the USA Today Network. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Breitel. Paul, my friend, how are we? How was OTAs today?
It was excellent just to be back out on the practice field watching these guys in action. This is we were at rookie minicamp, obviously, but this was the first time where the rookies, the incoming players, Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, the returning players were all on the practice field together. So it was fantastic.
I saw you tweeted out earlier, but we'll just say I didn't see it. Who are the couple of guys that look like they added some muscle and got a little bit bigger this offseason?
Yeah, so when the Packers were going through their initial stretches, and I have to say as well, since Aaron Hill took over as the new strength and conditioning coach, I'm going to go off on a brief tangent here, but we've noticed compared to last year how the Packers go through stretching is different than what they've done previously.
Really?
An example is the time that they're spending on that warm-up period is longer. They're breaking up the more skill position players, so your cornerbacks, receivers, running backs are doing different stretches versus the offensive linemen, the defensive linemen. And it looks like they're going for a more dynamic element to that stretching of it. So that was one thing that did stand out. But in addition to that, to answer your question, Carrington Valentine, Packers cornerback, and then Kobe Wood, the defensive tackle for the Packers, both looked like they bulked up this offseason, and definitely in a good way. Matt LaFleur said of Kobe Wood that he put on a few pounds, and I had the opportunity to ask Kobe about that in the locker room after, and he said for him it was just yoga and the weight room. That was his emphasis for this offseason in terms of adding some more weight to his frame. Matt LaFleur said him getting a little bit bigger is going to better suit him in terms of what the Packers are going to ask him to do. So, you know, in this 4-3 scheme, the Packers, quote-unquote, edge rushers are now listed as defensive ends. Well, by Kobe Wood and putting on weight, he's not going to be moving to a defensive end spot. We're still going to see him in the middle of that defense. And one other thing I asked him about, because we've heard Jeff Hafley talk about it, Jason Rebrovich, the defensive line coach, that this defensive front is going to be more attacking. It's about TFLs and sacks, as Jason Rebrovich said. And so I asked Kobe Wood, what does that mean for him in terms of his responsibilities and what he did last year compared to now? And the big thing is last year was a bit more of a reactive approach. So in Joe Barry's defense, it was a two-gap scheme for the defensive line. So what that means is each defensive lineman was responsible for two gaps. They had to read what was happening in the backfield. They had to read what the offensive line was doing and then decide which of their two gaps was most vulnerable and then try to plug that one. In this system, he said it's just go. you're trying to head north and south. You're just trying to get in the backfield and be as disruptive as possible. And you could tell from talking to him, he's very excited about this new style of defense, what they're going to be asked to do. And obviously the name of the game in football is disrupting the quarterback. And this new style is obviously going to be play a big role in the Packers being more consistent in that regard.
Devondre Campbell, who annoys me lately with social media, the former Packers linebacker, now the Niners, earlier in the offseason was talking about how Quayle benefit more in this one because he's a dog and you can't make a dog think and yada, yada, yada. Listening to you talk here, is that what this defense is? Is it hopefully a lot less thinking, a lot more straightforward for a lot of these guys, so we're not having to hear we have to essentially simplify it or dumb it down later in the season because they can't figure it out?
I think that's spot on, and you know, different position, but speaking with Xavier McKinney today, you know, he talked about how Jeff Hafley and this defense, what it does is it a really good job of preparing the players so that they can go out there and, as McKinney put it, just be themselves, so that they can go out there and within the system play their style of football, because they're not overthinking. They know what their responsibilities are. They see what's happening, and boom, they just react. You know, the two words we hear over and over and over again this offseason, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the players, is fast and physical. And part of that component for anyone out there who's played, you know, sports throughout their lives, you know, when we begin to overthink and we're, taking that, you know, that overthinking approach, we're not playing as fast as we should be. We're not reacting as swiftly as we should be. And so Jeff Hafley's defense is big on just getting players out there, reacting to what they're seeing. And part of that is the game plan that they put in place. Another big aspect of that is his ability as a teacher. I mean, we've heard countless former players of Hafley and big names, Richard Sherman, Tayshawn Gibson, the safety for the 49ers, Jordan Fuller, who Hafley coached at Ohio State. They all talk about how fantastic he is as a teacher. And with that, it's a better understanding of responsibilities. And then therefore on the football field, you're reading, you're reacting, and you're just going full speed, playing fast. And hopefully that leads to those disruptive plays. But I think you're spot on. That's a big, big part of what this defense is. And that's going to be a big catalyst towards what obviously hopefully becomes improved play for that unit this season.
Tom Paul, Bridal Commons for Packers, Wire of the USA Today Network. He's live from Packers OTAs. The first 11 that went out there on defense, vets, right? McDuffie's out there. Anthony Johnson Jr. is out there. Nixon is out there. And that's just, I think, standard protocol until the rookies get up to speed and they figure out who can handle what. Of the rookies that you saw defensively out there, anybody stand out when they're essentially running around in shorts?
Yeah, so they had two 7-on-7 drills, two 11-on-11s going when they were doing those periods. And the rookies initially were on one side of the field with more of the second, third string guys. And I imagine the emphasis there for them is just to, one, get them some starting snaps, and also, two, just to focus on, all right, knowing their responsibilities, where they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to get there, all of those aspects to it. So like you said, the starting linebackers, it was McDuffie next to Quay Walker. It was Anthony Johnson Jr. next to Xavier McKinney, although we did see Edrin Cooper rotated in with the linebackers as well. But you know, the emphasis today, said Matt LaFleur, because in the 11-on-11s, they weren't going full speed. You know, Matt LaFleur says, again, this is teaching tape at this time of the year. They're really focused on the footwork, where they're supposed to be, and how they're supposed to get there. But in terms of who stood out, I'll point out both of the linebackers as far as the rookies, Edrin Cooper and Tyron Hopper. You know, when the Packers are running to the outside, you can see the horizontal speed that both of those players bring to the table, their ability to get to the sideline, their ability to get to, you know, a gap that's opening for the running back. And going back to Brian Gutekunst or John Eric Sullivan, the Packers VP of player personnel, speaking to us after the draft, with both Cooper and Hopper, and obviously...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Add Quay Walker to that equation. One of the things they keep coming back to in describing these players was their speed and that sideline to sideline ability that both of those guys bring. You could really see that during today's practice, like I said, especially in the run game when the Packers were trying to stretch the field and get towards the sidelines.
What about Christian Watson? All this talk about him going to all these specialists and trying to figure out how to keep himself healthy with his hamstring and so forth. Any difference in Christian Watson that you can tell so far?
I wouldn't say any difference other than he looks like a healthy Christian Watson. I mean, even going through the individual drills where he's, you know, running routes against air, man, his explosiveness, his speed, you just see it so quickly. And so I think from that perspective for Packers fans that he's had a healthy offseason, he's coming into OTAs, you know, at what looks like anyways 100% health and just able to attack this part of the offseason, which hopefully obviously puts him on a good trajectory for training camp and then into the regular season. But his speed, his burst, like I mentioned, were already on display. And during the 7-on-7, during the 11-on-11 drills, he was already making plays out there today. And Matt LaFleur talked about it afterwards. You know, we all know, and as you mentioned, he went and saw those specialists this offseason. And, you know, they feel like they're in a good spot right now with what the Packers need to do, whether it's being more mindful of his workload this summer, what Christian Watson needs to do when he's away from the facility to make sure that he's staying on top of his hamstring health. They feel like they're in a good spot, but LaFleur also added the caveat that, you know, ultimately they're going to have to see how things progress in June, July, August, and into the season, you know, to fully know if they're on the right course, but all parties feel that they're on the right track in terms of making sure that he's going to be available as often as he can this season, because we see it. Matt LaFleur talked about it. This offense is different when he's on the field. When defenses have to respect Christian Watson's speed, the gravity he has, the spacing he creates, it opens up opportunities for others. And this is something Jaden Reed talked about last year as well. Defenses play the Packers different when he's on the field. So obviously getting him out there as often as possible is priority one.
And we'll hear Matt LaFleur's presser coming up here at 4:20. Maybe not all of it, but some of it coming up at 4:20 here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Chatting with Paul Bredel, columnist for Packers Wire, a part of the USA Today Network. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Bredel. Want to talk about a couple of other guys. Eric Stokes battling injury the last couple of years. I saw he was out there starting with Jaire Alexander at corner. What does he look like?
Yeah, he was out there as well, and there was one of the routes where he was matched up with Christian Watson on a deep route running down the sideline. And, you know, Stokes, along with Watson, went down to UW-Madison this offseason to meet with the same specialist about the hamstring issue. So he's going through, you know, cultivated to him, but he's going through a similar process to make sure those lingering hamstring issues that, you know, set him back early on last year, kept him off the field later on in the season, aren't going to be issues for him either. But again, it was a small sample size overall, and they weren't going, you know, 100% out there during the 11-on-11s, but him and Watson were going stride for stride down the field. Always good to see elite speed that both those players have. And as you mentioned, he was the starter across from Jaire Alexander over Carrington Valentine. And, you know, that, if I had to guess right now, that's how I think they're going to enter training camp. Obviously, it's going to be a full-on battle between him and Valentine to see who the starter is going to be come week one. But it feels like, at least for the time being, they're going to give Eric Stokes the benefit of the doubt and let him prove that, you know, he can be that guy across from Jaire.
Ngabari was thought to have torn something last we heard, and he's out there on the field. Give us an update, I guess, on his medicals, and then how does him and Van Ness kind of fit into what this looks like defensively?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, you know, the thought was that during that Dallas playoff game, he tore his ACL. But that wasn't the case. We got hint of that following the draft when Brian Gutekunst was speaking to us and said they didn't tear it, although they didn't, him or nor LaFleur gave any sort of timeline on when Enagbare was going to be back on the field. So one, to see him out there stretching was a surprise. To see him going through individual drills was a surprise. And then he was out there for 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. Matt LaFleur said he's a full go. And that's a really big boost for this defensive end unit that the Packers have, because without him, there's some question marks. I mean, that is still, yes, you have Rashawn Gary, you invested in Lucas Van Ness early in last year's draft. You have Preston Smith returning, but that's a heavily rotated position. That's four guys, sometimes five guys, seeing snaps at that position group each week. And if you don't have Enagbare in that mix, you're relying on Keyshawn Banks, an undrafted rookie from last year, Brenton Cox, another undrafted rookie from last year, who I know many are excited about, but he's still a relative unknown. We haven't seen what he can fully do in the NFL yet. So Enagbare being healthy for the offseason, you know, being able to participate in OTAs, training camp, all that, huge, huge boost for the Packers defensive front, because he was really gaining some traction towards the end of the season. Now, as far as kind of tying that in to what your question, him and Van Ness, you know, they're going to be that second front, that second end rotation behind Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary. And I do wonder if we see more for Lucas Van Ness. We didn't, you know, he was lined up at defensive end today, but I wonder if once we get into training camp more, we get into preseason more, if we see him lining up more as an interior defender, because I'm sure many remember that's where actually the bulk of his snaps came from at right. Iowa. He played yep. more defensive tackle snaps than defensive end. So I'm curious to see if the Packers try to, unleash that part of his game where a lot of his previous experience has come from, because he has the size, he has the power to be able to, you know, get upfield, close those gaps along the interior defensive line. So I'm going to be really curious to see how they use him in that regard. But like I said, it's a heavily rotated position. Him and Enagbare are going to be big parts of that defensive end.
One last one. I see it was musical chairs on the offensive line front again.
Oh, 100%. So Zach Tom was not participating today. Matt LaFleur said he's dealing with a pec injury. Doesn't expect it to be long-term, said he should be back on the field for training camp. So without Zach Tom in the mix, it was Andre Dillard starting at right tackle. And like we talked about earlier, remember some of the rookies were on other parts of the field from where the returning veterans were. But at left tackle was Rasheed Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, which you'd expect. And then, like I said, Andre Dillard at right tackle. We saw Jordan Morgan playing both left tackle and right tackle today. And then with the second team offense, Elton Jenkins was getting some snaps at center. So I feel like with, you know, Tom's emergence over the last year or so, his experience at center, you know, as the Packers search for their best five, Jenkins moving back to center could be something that's flying under the radar a bit, but that could be an option that they explore this summer, because they drafted Jacob Bunk in the fifth round, who can play all three interior positions. You have Sean Ryan, who can play right guard or left guard. You have the flexibility of Jordan Morgan being able to play right tackle, which could move Zach Tom in. So if they were to explore moving Zach Tom to center between Elton Jenkins to center between Tom, Monk, Sean Ryan, they have options to fill in that left guard spot. But it was, like you said it perfectly, it was musical chairs today, and that's what it's going to be all summer long.
If I'm a guessing man, I still
add Quay Walker to that equation. One of the things they keep coming back to in describing these players was their speed and that sideline to sideline ability that both of those guys bring. You could really see that during today's practice, like I said, especially in the run game when the Packers were trying to stretch the field and get towards the sidelines.
What about Christian Watson? All this talk about him going to all these specialists and trying to figure out how to keep himself healthy with his hamstring and so forth. Any difference in Christian Watson that you can tell so far?
I wouldn't say any difference other than he looks like a healthy Christian Watson. I mean, even going through the individual drills where he's, you know, running routes against air, man, his explosiveness, his speed, you just see it so quickly. And so I think from that perspective for Packers fans, that he's had a healthy offseason, he's coming into OTAs, you know, at what looks like anyways 100% health, and just able to attack this part of the offseason, which hopefully obviously puts him on a good trajectory for training camp and then into the regular season. But his speed, his burst, like I mentioned, were already on display, and during the 7-on-7, during the 11-on-11 drills, he was already making plays out there today. And Matt LaFleur talked about it afterwards. You know, we all know, and as you mentioned, he went and saw those specialists this off season, and you know, they feel like they're in a good spot right now with what the Packers need to do, whether it's being more mindful of his workload this summer, what Christian Watson needs to do when he's away from the facility to make sure that he's staying on top of his hamstring health. They feel like they're in a good spot, but LaFleur also added the caveat that, you know, ultimately they're going to have to see how things progress in June, July, August, and into the season, you know, to fully know if they're on the right course, but all parties feel that they're on the right track in terms of making sure that he's going to be available as often as he can this season, because we see it. Matt LaFleur talked about it. This offense is different when he's on the field. When defenses have to respect Christian Watson's speed, the gravity he has, the spacing he creates, it opens up opportunities for others. And this is something Jaden Reed talked about last year as well. Defenses play the Packers different when he's on the field. So obviously getting him out there as often as possible is priority one.
And we'll hear Matt LaFleur's presser coming up here at 4:20. Maybe not all of it, but some of it coming up at 4:20 here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Chatting with Paul Bredel, columnist for Packers Wire, a part of the USA Today Network. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Bredel. Want to talk about a couple of other guys. Eric Stokes battling injury the last couple of years. I saw he was out there starting with Jair Alexander at corner. What does he look like?
Yeah, he was out there as well, and there was one of the routes where he was matched up with Christian Watson on a deep route running down the sideline. And, you know, Stokes, along with Watson, went down to UW-Madison this offseason to meet with the same specialist about the hamstring issue. So he's going through, you know, cultivated to him, but he's going through a similar process to make sure those lingering hamstring issues that, you know, set him back early on last year, kept him off the field later on in the season, aren't going to be issues for him either. But again, it was a small sample size overall, and they weren't going, you know, 100% out there during the 11-on-11s, but him and Watson were going stride for stride down the field. Always good to see elite speed that both those players have. And as you mentioned, he was the starter across from Jair Alexander over Carrington Valentine. And, you know, that, if I had to guess right now, that's how I think they're going to enter training camp. Obviously, it's going to be a full-on battle between him and Valentine to see who the starter is going to be come week one. But it feels like, at least for the time being, they're going to give Eric Stokes the benefit of the doubt and let him prove that, you know, he can be that guy across from Jair.
Ngabari was thought to have torn something last we heard, and he's out there on the field. Give us an update, I guess, on his medicals, and then how does him and Van Ness kind of fit into what this looks like defensively?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, you know, the thought was that during that Dallas playoff game, he tore his ACL, but that wasn't the case. We got hint of that following the draft when Brian Gutekunst was speaking to us and said they didn't tear it, although they didn't, him or nor LaFleur gave any sort of timeline on when Ngabari was going to be back on the field. So one, to see him out there stretching was a surprise. To see him going through individual drills was a surprise. And then he was out there for 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. Matt LaFleur said he's a full go. And that's a really big boost for this defensive end unit that the Packers have, because without him, there's some question marks. I mean, that is still, yes, you have Rashawn Gary, you invested in Lucas Van Ness early in last year's draft. You have Preston Smith returning, but that's a heavily rotated position. That's four guys, sometimes five guys, seeing snaps at that position group each week. And if you don't have Ngabari in that mix, you're relying on Keyshawn Banks, an undrafted rookie from last year, Brenton Cox, another undrafted rookie from last year who I know many are excited about, but he's still a relative unknown. We haven't seen what he can fully do in the NFL yet. So Ngabari being healthy for the offseason, you know, being able to participate in OTAs, training camp, all that, huge, huge boost for the Packers defensive front, because he was really gaining some traction towards the end of the season. Now, as far as kind of tying that in to what you, with your question, him and Van Ness, you know, they're going to be that second front, that second end rotation behind Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary. And I do wonder if we see more for Lucas Van Ness. We didn't, you know, he was lined up at defensive end today, but I wonder if once we get into training camp more, we get into preseason more, if we see him lining up more as an interior defender, because I'm sure many remember that's where actually the bulk of his snaps came from at right. Iowa. He played more defensive tackle snaps than defensive end. So I'm curious to see if the Packers try to, unleash that part of his game where a lot of his previous experience has come from, because he has the size, he has the power to be able to, you know, get upfield, close those gaps along the interior defensive line. So I'm going to be really curious to see how they use him in that regard. But like I said, it's a heavily rotated position. Him and Ngabari are going to be big parts of that defensive end.
One last one. I see it was musical chairs on the offensive line front again.
Oh, 100%. So Zach Tom was not participating today. Matt LaFleur said he's dealing with a pec injury. Doesn't expect it to be long term. Said he should be back on the field for training camp. So without Zach Tom in the mix, it was Andre Dillard starting at right tackle. And like we talked about earlier, remember some of the rookies were on other parts of the field from where the returning veterans were. But at left tackle was Rasheed Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, which you'd expect. And then, like I said, Andre Dillard at right tackle. We saw Jordan Morgan playing both left tackle and right tackle today. And then with the second team offense, Elton Jenkins was getting some snaps at center. So I feel like with, you know, Tom's emergence over the last year or so, his experience at center, you know, as the Packers search for their best five, Jenkins moving back to center could be something that's flying under the radar a bit, but that could be an option that they explore this summer because they drafted Jacob Bunk in the fifth round, who can play all three interior positions. You have Sean Ryan, who can play right guard or left guard. You have the flexibility of Jordan Morgan being able to right tackle, play right tackle, which could move Zach Tom in. So if they were to explore moving Zach Tom to center between Tom, or excuse me, Elton Jenkins to center between Tom, Monk, Sean Ryan, they have options to fill in that left guard spot. But it was, like you said it perfectly. It was musical chairs today, and that's what it's going to be all summer long.
If I'm a guessing man, I still think it's Walker is your left tackle, and then right guard is either Morgan or Tom, and the other is at right tackle. I just, two things. One, I can't imagine Jordan Love's comfortable with a rookie left tackle. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is, you know, if they feel like Zach Tom is better moving inside, and if Walker is as good as they think he is as a tackle and as athletic as he is, it makes sense. And then when Myers' deal is up, you can eventually slide Tom over to center.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. And, you know, they harp on it, putting out the best five out there. And sometimes it doesn't always mean the best player or the players at their best position, because offensive line play, it's about the sum of the parts are greater than the individual. I mean, you can have an all-pro Hall of Fame left tackle, but if your right side of your offensive line is below league average, your offensive line unit as a whole isn't going to be very good. So sometimes the best player for that position isn't always going to be lined up there. And I think we saw that last year with Zach Tom being at right tackle, given how highly we've heard that the Packers think about him at center. But it's going to be constant movement throughout the summer. I really don't think anything is off the table at this point. And obviously we all focus on Jordan Love, the receivers, the addition to Josh Jacobs in the backfield. This offense should be good this season. We know that. But the ceiling of this offense is going to be determined by how good the offensive line is. How good are they in the run game? How good are they at pass protecting? How good are they at handling blitzes? All of that is going to determine the ceiling for that offensive unit as a whole this year.
That quote that you just had, I'm going to send it to LaFleur so they can print it out and put it on the wall in the locker room for this Packers team going forward. The ceiling of this offense will be determined by their offensive line. I mean, that's it. That's all you got to say. And that should just be put up in the room. And that's it. Let everybody see it every day they walk into the locker room. All credit to Paul Breidel. I'll send it off to LaFleur when we're done.
I appreciate that.
All right, buddy. Paul Breidel, comments for Packers Wire of USA Today. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Breidel. He's amazing. Paul, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, as always. I appreciate it.
Take care. You betcha. Take care. There he is. Paul Breidel joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now. Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups. No pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.